Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. I have with me tonight from Grace Ranch back with us, Ann and Karen. Welcome, ladies.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Good evening.
And Miss Megan up here in Vermont. Hello, Megan.
Hello, everyone. We're enjoying some rain today.
Yes, it's been kind of a nice, I mean, it's been constant, but gentle, nothing hysterical. So that's a praise God. I think about your all's 8 inches in a short period of time. I don't think I've ever seen that. So I don't know. That was a lot. Tonight we're going to start something that's you can find on the website. It's under the Bible study section of the Fisherman Ministry website, and it's the Walking in the Spirit seminar. So you can pull it up or not, but know that it is a reference that you can use yourself. And it's divided into 6 parts. And Megan, would you like to just read the 6 parts that we will be going through? Not all tonight. We'll start with part 1, but just to give an overview.
Sure. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, opening the door to walking in the Spirit. 2, gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are they and how are they used? 3, using the gift of healing. 4, using the gift of prophecy, visions, tongues, and interpretation. 5, using the gifts of discernment, word of knowledge, and word of wisdom. 6, growing in the fruit of the Spirit. What does it mean?
So that's what we'll be taking a look at, and there is that reference for ongoing use and study that we can all avail ourselves of. So the first one, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and there are some scripture references we are going to read on this, and then we'll read a few specific things. So Karen, the very first one there is Matthew 3:11 under baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this is John the Baptist speaking.
If you were, we had to go off and reset, so we're back now.
Okay.
Did you want me to read, Robin?
Yes, please.
Okay, 3:11.
Yes.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Okay, so this is John the Baptist, the prophet that comes before Israel, and this is his statement, both about himself and about Jesus, who has not yet been revealed, but will be shortly. And his, an interesting statement, he that cometh after me is mightier than I, and of course John the Baptist was mighty, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So this is a statement of fact that John the Baptist is speaking about, and one that we all adhere to and know is true. Do you all want to say anything further on that one, my muted friends?
Not at the moment, Robin.
Okay. It's a problem with mute. It's good and it's bad, right? The next one, Karen, is a long one, John 15:1-17, which to all, if not most of us, or most if not all of us, is a very familiar scripture. John 15:1-17.
Yes, Robin, I'm getting there.
Robin, okay. There's a question in the chat.
Oh, thank you.
What is the fire?
The fire, is it not that power?
Yes, it's the power.
Yeah.
Okay, John 15:1-17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
And 17.
These things I command you, that ye love one another.
Boy, isn't this exactly what we've been having ministered to us now for a matter of months. Does anybody have anything particular, because we're not going to go through this like verse by verse or anything, that you would like to point out? You know, we're doing a study here on baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at a verse shortly where we see that baptism upon Jesus and for what purpose, and it's the same one. I have to say, being a person that happens to have apple trees and stuff like this, they're not a vine, but it is striking when you look at just verse 1. He's the true vine. And his Father's the husbandman. Now, the husbandman, like in my yard, would be me. I'm the husbandman. And I go out and I prune off branches that sap the strength and cause the tree's ability to fruit to diminish. Because too much is going into the branches and the fruit doesn't come to perfection. And so here Jesus is giving a picture of the relationship we are to have with him. He's the vine. We're the branches. And it is the branches that bear fruit, but it is only through their attachment to the vine and being fruitful ones rather than the unfruitful ones, which will be cut off because they drain and drag the vine, causing the whole thing to become less fruitful. And Jesus is making a comparison here. And then he goes down saying that unless you abide in me, unless you're attached to me, so to speak, in the vine thing, you can't bear fruit. This is an absolute. It is in and through Jesus that fruit can be born, good fruit. When I was reading this earlier, I thought it was interesting, verse 6, because it said that if a man abide not in me, therefore he's not bearing fruit, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And truth is, if you're not abiding in him, you do wither. If I'm not abiding in him, I wither. I mean, it is a truth. The only way to bear fruit, godly fruit, is through abiding in him. And then, he basically lays out what it is that we're to do. We're to love one another. And the very same thing that his Father did for him when he walked on the earth to show him all things is the very same ministry that his Father, the Holy Spirit, will do in and through us. And then, of course, greater love hath no man than this, that he man lay down his life for his friends. Well, of course, they had seen Jesus do just that, but they hadn't yet seen to the full extent that he was going to do that. Because he laid down his life every day. One other little thing that really stuck out to me was verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And, you know, it's easy to think, well, God loved Jesus. It was his begotten Son. But it was through Jesus' obedience that he abode in that. And so it is for us.
Well, one thing in verse 8, it's basically, well, it says, is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The Father is glorified because we bear fruit.
Yes.
That is how we glorify him. And then we become Jesus's, we become disciples then.
And that's exactly what you saw Jesus, how it worked with Jesus. It's no different. That's how he glorified the Father.
Robin?
Yes.
There is a question, I think it pertains to verse 6, and men gather them in.
Well, yes, and you guys can throw in, but he's putting it in the sense of an agricultural thing. So a vine, you know, if a branch withers, they cut it off and throw it in the fire.
Yeah.
And so it will be in the spirit. I will say, though, that a power that God has given to his apostles is that they can forgive sin and not forgive sin, remit or not remit. But I believe this is in the context of the corollary the Lord's making between a plant, you know, something that these people would have well understood being an agricultural society, and himself as the true vine, the life-giving vine. So the next one is also, I mean, all of these are familiar. This is Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, and this is the reason why, if you haven't read Joel, you would be familiar with it, is it is what we will read in Acts 2 that Peter quotes, having come to pass. So Joel 2:28 and 29. Megan, we'll switch between you and Karen just since there's so many verses we're going to be reading. But Karen, you can go ahead and read this one.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit.
And here you see that he's going to pour it out upon all flesh, which gave entrance to the Gentiles. He didn't specify the Jews there, but upon all flesh, and upon sons and daughters. So it's all flesh. And this spirit then, old men are going to dream dreams, young men are going to see visions. He's going to pour it out upon his servants and upon his handmaidens in those days. And his servants and his handmaidens are those who have, by their own free will, become the Lord's bond slaves. And those people who make that choice, he will pour out his spirit upon. And, you know, I have to say that, and you can see it in Acts and how it worked just in the New Testament church, but we can see it in ourselves. The Lord has poured out his spirit. we need to now be mighty and go forth, availing ourselves of that gift that he has given, and become those servants and handmaidens who have chosen to become God's bond slaves. Do you guys have anything to add there?
No.
Okay, Mark 10, 35 through 40.
Oops. I was using my iPad and it turned off. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared.
Yeah. I kind of like this scripture for a variety of reasons, but verse 38, you know not what you ask. They didn't really understand yet the requirement that precedes such a thing. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? And that would be to die to themselves and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. And they answered well. They said, yes, we can. And he agreed with them. Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall ye be baptized. But it isn't for Jesus to give that place. But it's kind of in a nutshell what this is all about, right?
But he's basically letting them know that they can eventually will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit just as he did.
Yeah. And through that Spirit be able to do even as he did in all ways. Both the miracles, but also to die to themselves and to live unto God. Luke 4:18 and 19. Oh wait, oh yeah, I apologize. I was on Luke 3 and it was like not right.
Okay. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
This, of course, is Jesus, who Isaiah had prophesied of, and he stood up and read that prophecy and then told them very plainly that that day it had been fulfilled in their
ears.
Yeah, thank you. But this is the exact same Spirit that we're baptized with, and it is for the exact same purpose as what Jesus speaks here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's why he gave us the baptism in the Holy Spirit, to do likewise. It's what you see, and we're going to read it, actually, not next, but soon, what you see Peter do in Acts 2. He was anointed with the Spirit, and he did exactly that. He preached the gospel, and he preached the acceptable year of the Lord. That's purpose. The next one is Luke 24:49. Megan, are you muted?
Oh, I'm reading. Right. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
Okay, so this is Jesus before, after his resurrection, and at the end of his ministry, walking, you know, before he ascended. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And that is that miraculous power of God. And that's what they did, as we know.
And that power only comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so he's promising what Jesus told James and John, that they will receive that exact power.
And what John the Baptist said he would do too.
Yes. So they are to wait and they will receive it because he promised it.
Amen. Karen, John 8, 31 and 32.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
So this, to me, very much kind of goes back to the abiding in the vine that we just read, but it's also very much what we've been learning and hearing in the Thessalonians Bible study, because we know they continued in God's word. And we know that because of that, they knew the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we continue in his word, then are we his disciples. And then we will know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. And these are words Jesus spoke to those who believed on him, who had that right faith. But they had to continue in it. And we know that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And then, Megan, you have a long-winded chapter to read. Chapter 2 of Acts. And while, before you start, the men did a Bible study last year on Acts, starting, I think, maybe in March. So it's, if you're interested, it's out there.
Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
You know, the thing that strikes me right off the bat is this happened immediately after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were baptized. They all spoke in tongues. This was a new thing, nothing they had done before. The hearers heard them in their own language. They didn't speak in their own language. The hearers heard every one of them in their own language. That was an act of God to the hearers, giving them the interpretation of what these men were speaking in an unknown tongue. And they, what did they hear? But they heard the marvelous works of God. This wasn't something authored by any of these people. And it happened immediately after they had received that baptism. And you have Peter stand up and give answer when you had the mockers. And he used the Old Testament. And he used it with, he rightly divided it. this was also a fruit of this baptism in the Holy Spirit, that he would, that Spirit would bring out those scriptures and give that right division for Peter to minister it. Because he's speaking to people who knew the scriptures. He opened it up. And he used Joel. He used David. I think that's Psalm 22. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. A psalm of David's that spoke of Jesus. It was prophetic of Jesus. All of this is about Jesus. And then he brought it down, what had happened. He also said it was that God had determined that this would happen, something even the disciples had a hard time swallowing before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it was the determinant counsel of God. Now Peter completely gets it and ministers it. And he brings it right down to these people that they crucified the Lord, both Lord and Christ, Jesus. And of course they're pricked, they're quickened, they believe this testimony, but the testimony of the revelation of the word, but the testimony of their own evil deed in crucifying Christ, and repented. And Peter, of course, then moves on, because now he's got the whole thing. He ministers to them the baptisms, the baptism of repentance or the blood of the Lamb, the baptism of water, where we are translated into the body of Christ, and the free gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's all in verse 38 there. And he says, for this is the promise that has been given, one that they didn't really see, understand, or get, but right now, here it is. And he gets it. He's standing in it. He's walking in it. So are the others. And those who heard and received were gladly baptized, gladly repented. And then they remained steadfast in the apostles' doctrine.
You know, one thing that's always fascinated me, and Karen had mentioned it to me too, was the transformation of Peter. Just shortly before that, he denied knowing Jesus.
And now he's speaking with such power.
And that is the result of having the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which came upon them.
And you have to figure mixed in with that too, is the fact that Peter could have walked around feeling guilty, because he was. I mean, you know, we all know that spot, right? But it didn't. I mean, he was set free himself, was he not?
Yes, he was.
So there was, this was a great time of revival amongst a people who had 40 days before crucified Christ. And yet this is the power of the Holy Spirit that manifests the acceptable year of the Lord through signs and wonders. The very first one was tongues. That's what got everybody's attention.
It's a wonderful picture of the transformation of people by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's also a wonderful picture of the gospel. You crucified Jesus. You are right. What do we do? Repent and be baptized. Okay.
Yeah. Amen. Well, you know, there's scripture, and it might be in Corinthians, where it talks about when an unbeliever comes in, that prophecy convicts them of their sin. And you see that at work here, these people were convicted of their sin. And those who acknowledged it and then took the free gift of God were redeemed. You know, that sin was then, they were cleansed of it. It's a wonderful thing. So, unless anybody had anything further, we can go to John 20, 21 through 23.
Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
There's a couple things here. Now, one is he gives them his peace. Peace be unto you. And that is that reconciliation, that peace treaty that he purchased on the cross that reconciles us to God and we're no longer at war. And then he says, in the same manner as my Father sent me, I am sending you now. And here we see where he breathes on them and tells them to receive the Holy Ghost. And we know that Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Ghost. This receiving of it we saw at the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And then with his disciples here, he gives them power to remit or retain sin. And actually, this has occurred after, this transpires after his resurrection. So you see, he has actually already purchased their peace with his blood. And he is now giving them the commission to go do even as he did. He's sending them as he was sent. And he's going to empower them even as he was empowered. Even as we are empowered. Did you guys want to add anything there?
No.
No.
Well, let me look at this, because now it kind of breaks down and brings it out into, you know, some other things. Maybe we should stop there and we can pick up next week, because I'll just read the subtitles, kind of. The Holy Spirit baptism is not always given at conversion, but sometimes after, because the believer does not always understand what he is to receive. And that actually is right there in Acts. You'll recognize when we go there. The Holy Ghost was promised by Jesus to all who believe on him. Everybody. That goes down to today and us. Gives power to the believer, will guide the believer into all truths, is called the Spirit of Truth. And it goes on, it dwells in believers, is given by Christ, is given in answer to prayer, is given by waiting on the Lord, is the cleansing agent of God. So we'll look at those scriptures next week, and maybe go into believers in the early church and see how it worked on them. So this is a Bible study on the Fisherman Ministry website. So feel free to go ahead. So thank you all for joining
ministry.
Us. Go ahead.
The website, of course, is thefishermanministry.org, and you'll find it under the teachings or the Bible study.
Bible study, I think it is. Bible study tab. Let's double check.
Certainly under teachings. Might be under Bible study too. Let's see. Yep, it's under both.
Oh, well, there you go. You can't find it.
Sure.
Thank you. I didn't know it was under the teachings, so that's cool. Now I do. Alrighty, well, thank you all for joining us, and it's good to have Anna and Karen back with us.
Yes.
Look forward to seeing you next week. May the Lord bless you.
May the Lord bless you. Good night.
Good night, everyone.